This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Good morning.
So Emma's going to sort of tell you what's going on today.
Yeah, have you...
Of what's shooting, because you haven't, obviously, you've just...
Have you even seen that side? Or
Yeah,
perfect. So basically what this scene is it's a, obviously a, in a football stadium, and we've got the Gotham Rogues playing the Rapid City Monuments, and it's really fun for us shooting in Pittsburgh because we've had the Pittsburgh Steelers here this morning. They're playing some of the Gotham Rogues, and basically what happens in this scene is just this is the total top line rather than giving you the whole thing, but basically Bane sort of comes and subverts it, and you know he's the, as you probably know, he's the one of our villains, and takes this moment to tell Gotham what his plan for them is.
Is that to do with all the crisis?
You'll see that, yeah. Basically, there's going to be quite a lot of explosions during the game, and you'll see all that later on, hopefully.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Does Ben Roethlisberger get blown up? I'm just curious.
No, we're not going to be blowing him up. Although he was here this morning. He's actually just... It's a shame you got stuck in traffic. We just shot all the Steelers for the National Anthem moment, and he was here.
So is this like Bane's introduction in the movie? Is this like
no, it's not his introduction. This is the moment though where he makes his plans known.
Yeah. What can you tell us at least about sort of what Bane's agenda is and how close to sort of his comic book roots is he? Because you know he's that sort of lifelong prisoner in the comics, mm-hmm. and he's got a Spanish accent. How much is that is still? How much of that is intact in the movie? That sort of
I mean, I would say, without saying too much, I mean, basically, I think we've sort of retained what works for this universe and for our world. He's definitely recognisable as, you know, there are elements, but then there are some things that we've changed just because I think, you know, they wouldn't have fit into Chris Nolan's version of the world.
Can you talk a little bit about, are you a little bit surprised the level of interest around the world in your production, because this is, in my opinion, the most set photos that have ever hit the net.
Yeah.
And were you guys sort of prepared for this, or did this sort of hit you a little bit blindside?
We've definitely been surprised by it. I mean, I think that it's interesting because every film that we make, certainly with this film, because of the property and because I think the success of The Dark Knight, you know, there's definitely a sort of whole different level of interest based on the tie with that. But also, every time we make a film, every 2 years, what's interesting to me, I find fascinating, is that technology has changed. And so Twitter wasn't a big thing, even on Inception, certainly wasn't on The Dark Knight. And it just seems to me that there's just so much more... People communicate in a whole different way now. And where before, even if we, you know, and again, also it's partly a function, I think, of what we're shooting. Like on The Dark Knight, for example, we were shooting mostly night shoots in the Loop in Chicago, and so there was no one around to take photos. There were a few diehards who would come down to the set and, you know, be there for everything, but this is slightly different. We're shooting in the middle of the day in the middle of Pittsburgh. So for me, you know, there are lots of, I feel like I'm rambling now, there are lots of different reasons why there's a lot more interest, but one of the most interesting things for me is just the way technology is different, and where on The Dark Knight, if somebody had taken a set photo, it might turn up online maybe the next day or maybe a couple days later, but now I'm literally looking on the computer and there's half an hour after we've shot something, it's everywhere. It's crazy, and I think it's a bummer personally, because I just feel like, I mean, I love that people are interested and excited, but I'd prefer people waited for the movie.
What about the choice of Bane for this movie? Because it's obviously very different from going for the Joker. Joker was all like, very intelligent, very methodical. It was like, you'd imagine Bane would be all drawn. Was it very deliberate to go that route with this movie? It would be more action-based?
I mean, it's something that Chris can speak to a little bit more than me, and probably Tom too, but I just feel like, I think that's one of the interesting things about Bane as a choice, is it's a different... We were never going to be able to do something... We were obviously never going to revisit the Joker, and you don't want to sort of be trying to chase that. And so it's fun to have a very different sort of villain in this, and a different sort of challenge for Batman to meet, a much more physical, it's almost a sort of more even match in some ways, you know, in a physical sense. It's just you don't want to do the same thing again.
You've got another very iconic character, probably the next biggest after Joker, mm-hmm. one would argue. Although you've not actually said she's Catwoman anywhere.
We haven't. Tell us about that. It's true. We haven't yet. And, you know, once again, I just feel, as we were just saying, there's so little that we can control about what goes out there at this point. It's actually quite nice to not give everything away.
Well, those pictures went out yesterday, didn't they? The first pictures of Anne as Selina Kyle.
Exactly.
Why do you feel you had to release those pictures after some of the photos have been taken on Twitter, just to have more of an official image?
We knew that we were going to be shooting outside on those steps, and we knew it wasn't going to be Anne, because it's her stunt double who does that. We weren't going to send Anne down on that part. We knew that we want to, it was definitely, we're not often reactive, but we were trying to be proactive there. We didn't want the first still out there of Anne, of the character to be the stunt person. We wanted it to be Anne herself.
Can you talk a little bit about any of the sort of the comic book storylines that may have influenced this? I mean, clearly when you bring up Bane, everyone thinks of Nightfall storyline, but there's, you know, some other ones too. But, you know, and it does seem, you know, in the trailer, Gordon is in the hospital bed. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for specifics, but just sort of, are you actually culling from existing storylines at all for the basis of the film?
Well, once again, I can't really, not being one of the writers, it's difficult for me to sort of talk about the sort of inspiration. I think that Chris and David Goyer are very mindful of, I mean, it's great for them to have that massive, you know, treasure chest, really, of the comic book storylines to draw from. And like, once again, as I was saying, in terms of, you know, how things fit into our world, ultimately what they are doing is completing the stories that were started in Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. They're drawing from comic book elements, undoubtedly. I can't speak to which specific elements, because I, you know, that's their thing. But it's a sort of a mixture of both.
Is Chris going for a different visual aesthetic on this one? One of the things that people have remarked on is the fact that you're shooting so much in the daytime. Mm. So is there a different kind of visual aesthetic?
Yeah, it's Batman going to be out there in sunlight.
It's definitely a different aesthetic. I think, once again, you don't want to, you know, we didn't want to be just repeating the same old thing. I don't think anyone would want to see just the same old thing, and it certainly wouldn't be any fun for us to tell the same old story. And visually, I think the same thing applies to that. It's meant to be winter in Gotham, and so that right there is going to lend a whole different look to the film. And so far we have shot rather more in the daylight than we did on the Dark Knight, but we've got a lot of nights coming our way too.
What's the difference between the cons and the pros of being here in Pittsburgh instead of Chicago, where you shot the first two movies, here in the US?
It's great to be in Pittsburgh. We're having a really great time here. I mean, I think that one of the biggest reasons that we came here was that Chicago was, you know, we had a fantastic time there and we loved it, but we literally have shot every inch of that city. And it was quite, as I said, we don't want to be retreading old territory, you know, whether that be visually or in terms of the storyline. We want this to be a standalone movie that just doesn't feel like something anyone's seen before. And then Gotham is meant to be a massive metropolis, you know, it's meant to be a huge city, and so we just didn't want, I think we felt like if we went back to Chicago, we would be limiting the scope, and we just wanted to make it feel massive.
There are locations in India too.
Yeah, we shot a small piece in India, that's right. We've been all over the place. We've done India, England, Scotland, here, we're going to LA next, and then New York.
What's the percentage of the film? We all know you're shooting a lot of it in IMAX, but what do you think the final percentage will be in IMAX?
Gosh, I think it's actually very difficult to say at this point, because I don't know until we basically, at the moment what we're doing is we're shooting a lot in IMAX. A lot in IMAX, much more than we shot on The Dark Knight. We're also shooting a lot in IMAX and 35, And so I don't, and then some exclusively in 35. So I don't know at this point what will end, what the end, you know, the final.
Are you using, if I can just ask you, are you using the small, the new IMAX prototype camera thing, the smaller one, or are you still using the big?
We're still using the big ones. Yeah. Yeah, which is great. And but obviously there are very real limitations in terms of dialogue scenes and heavy drama stuff. So we've shot some of that with both, and some of it exclusively with 35. There's no doubt there'll be a lot more in IMAX than there was on the Dark Knight.
One of the more interesting things about Bane and the character is that beyond being a physical match for Batman, he might even be smarter than Bane. Mm. Is the intellectual component of Bane very much present in this movie, or is it much more physical?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't want to, you know, in saying what I said earlier on, I don't want to sound like it's all about sort of brawn, because it's not. He's definitely a smart guy. We are definitely touching on that. There's no doubt, and I think that that's why it is a sort of it's a really interesting match for Batman after the Joker, who was just purely about, you know, chaos and playing with people. You know, Bane has a plan. You know,
everything in the movie is epic. You know, including the casting. Mm-hmm. You know, people really remarked on just the sheer number of actors that you've gotten involved mm-hmm. in this film. What can you tell us about some of these, you know, other characters like Tom Conti and Matthew Modine and I'm going to slaughter his name, Alan.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce that. You know, once again, we feel very lucky to have such an amazing cast. I think that, you know, Chris's attempt has always been beyond the sort of the big, you know, sort of lead roles to flesh out the world with believable characters. And a big part of that is getting really amazing actors to play the parts and, you know.
Wow. Oh, Annie's dog.
I was going to wrap it up there, actually, which is just very clean.
Yeah, perfect.
Because I bring you Anne Hathaway.
Now. Fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you. Tell us about Anne Hathaway.
Oh, she's amazing. She's brilliant. We're very lucky to be working with her. And she has a lovely dog.